money, Jordan Belfort. Stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the Molly and I think it's be my third.
What is going on, D-Gen Nation? Kenny Kim here, bring you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast this week for the Tournament of Champions. As usual, I am here with my favorite Canadian, everyone's favorite Canadian, Mr. Big Head, Canadian Pitbull, Tyler Tambourine. Tyler, what's up, my friend?
What's going on, man? We're back. Had a great show last week. Love doing the preview. If you guys haven't checked that out yet, you definitely got to go back and check it out. Kenny had the Bigfoot sighting. We had some fun with it. Lots of good comments over on the YouTube channel. And this season on the show, we are going to be asking for more YouTube love. So we'll bring that up as we go throughout the show. We've got a giveaway we're going to get to here in a little bit. But before we get into the show, want to remind you guys very quickly, this show is brought to you and presented by DraftKings. Got a very good offer from DraftKings later on that we'll present to you, of course. And then also want to remind you of our friends over at Fantasy Golf National. Get on over there, Fantasy National Golf Club. You can use the promo code FGD. Get yourself 20% off any subscription. So you can check it out for the season. Now's the time to hop back in. Kenny, what else do you got to talk to us about this week? Because we got no recap. We got no one and done later on. One and done starts next week. We'll get to the giveaway. Light the smoke. What's up?
I mean, Happy New Year to Happy all New our Year. Listeners, first off. I mean, what is this? 36 weeks straight of PGA Tour golf begins now, as Scott Hansen would say, on the red zone, which is something golf needs. From what I hear, this ESPN Plus thing could be better. If you haven't heard, ESPN Plus is taking over the PGA Tour live. Supposed to have a lot more stuff in the morning, like a regular camera feed that goes to all the different golfers on the course, featured groups, other types of groups, holes. It should be better. Maybe there's more golf watching in our future. Always helps with the gambling aspect as well. I was looking forward to that for this New Year's. Actually, you know what? New Year's is the worst, personally, in my opinion. It's the worst holiday, and everyone says they're going to do some crazy shit to resolutions. Fuck resolutions. I mean, does anyone really ever do them? Yeah. I tried to do them for years, and now I was just like, fuck it. So New Year's Day, the first thing I did, I ordered $50 worth of Arby's, ate like 6 roast beef and cheddars. It was delicious. I'm smoking. I'm drinking. I killed a half gallon this weekend. I'm still hurt. I'm really glad I didn't have to work today because we got a foot of snow here in D.C. It was 70 degrees yesterday in D.C. And today we got a foot of snow. So that's how it works where I live. It's the worst. New Year's is horrible. The parties are awful. It's all amateur hour when you go out. You know, now, one thing I did enjoy about New Year's was the shows. The CNN show, I saw this on Twitter. When you watch CNN New Year's Eve, you know, these guys talk news, they're serious every day, no matter what you think about the politics involved in there, you know. And then on New Year's Eve, everybody in the whole staff just gets blackout drunk on TV. It's glorious. It was great. Andy Cohen was hilarious. These guys were wasted on TV. You know me, I respect that. You know, getting wasted on TV or on YouTube, sort of my thing. You know, even though I can't really do it as much as I'd like to. I did it on the PGA draft show, which is another show you need to check out on Mayo Media Network. We had a good time with that one. I took about 12 shots of fucking rum or Crown Royal in that show. But you gradually tell, like, the level of drunkenness is gradually seeping upwards as the show went on. But the New Year sucks. It's the worst holiday. I hate it. The only thing good about it is, since I'm Korean, we do this thing where we travel to our all of our relatives' house. We bow and we tell them, you know, have a happy, healthy New Year. And they just give you envelopes of money. That's a bonus. A bonus. How was your New Year's?
Nothing special, man. You know me, got the 2 kids back here with family and stuff is nice. So it was good to have family around, but I didn't do anything crazy. It's kind of like you said, you eat shit, you drink shit, you move on with it. And then the next day you binge out the full season of Cobra Kai and just be done with that. So I know
exactly
you're
what I did.
That's a big exactly Cobra Kai fan. Yes. I crushed out the entire season on New Year's Day just to be done with it so I could get through it, and already looking forward to season 5. I think that's one of the craziest shows in the sense that it's like you said on Twitter, like the kids are all annoying.
God, I want to punch them in the face.
Cheesy. It's but if you have any type of Karate Kid love or nostalgia or anything, the fact that they literally bring back everybody from the show, from the movies back in the day, everyone almost, and there's more to come from what I can tell for the new ones. I guess that's where it comes from for me. It was a great movie way back in the day, one that my dad put me on to, and I just loved it growing up. So anytime it's on, I always watch it. I didn't like Karate Kid 3. 1 and 2 were great though, but this one in season 4 had some Karate Kid 3 nostalgia. So again, that's kind of why I watch it, Kenny, but you were talking about it on Twitter, so I thought I'd bring that up.
I mean, if you think about the show, what that show does, the characters aren't one-dimensional, which is what I enjoy. Like, you know, usually in shows like these cheesy shows, there's always a bad guy, always a good guy. It's sort of blurred a little bit. I mean, like Danny was a little punk in the first couple of seasons. I hated LaRusso's ass. You know what I'm saying? Johnny was the man to root for. And then the different character arcs, I mean, even Kreese in season 4, his arc and change and stuff like that. So I enjoy the show. But, you know, I want to punch all those kids in the face, especially Sam. She is so annoying. I mean, if it was okay to... I can't even say that. I mean, like, you know, it's just... She's extremely annoying. Extremely annoying.
It's a very cheesy show. I said to
my wife, if I was a LaRusso, so my parents growing up, they disciplined me. You know, they hit my ass. That's just the way it was back in the day. You got hit. You know, I mean, that was a normal thing. Nowadays, you can't do that shit no more. But my parents used to get a metal shoehorn, right? And they made me lift my pant leg up and just whack me on the side of the calf with the metal shoehorn repeatedly. Usually, you know, I got straight A's in school, which is, you know, I know, weird. Yeah, right. But I used to get like D's and F's in conduct. Not weird. You could probably see that happening, right? So I'd always like, I was a horrible kid, right? And so I would just get straight A's and like D's and F's in conduct. They just whacked the fuck out of my calves repeatedly. It didn't work. Maybe that's why
nothing's
people don't hit their, maybe that's why their kid, maybe people don't hit their kids anymore, because it never really worked. I guess the one thing I would say is I'd probably be even more messed up if that didn't happen. So you know, but anyways, that's enough of the intro. We got golf. It's the beginning of the year. We're ready to rock, and so let's go ahead straight with the course preview for the Tournament of Champions. I think I forgot something, Tim, but I forget.
Oh, the giveaway. Something. We can do the giveaway first. Yeah.
Let's do the giveaway first. We should have
more news, just so you guys know, too. I talked to some people today, getting some prizes ready for the Tournament of Champions, getting a listener league back. Got to finalize these things. So hopefully by next week, we can roll it out. We're excited about that. Of course, we've been mentioning it now for, I don't know how long. It seems like a while, but wanted to get it right for you guys. So we'll definitely have more on that to come. The other side of it, though, is the giveaway. The Race for the Mayo Cup 2022, $50,000 up top, 10% of the total prize pool, 500K guaranteed, extremely balanced payout structure. It's incredible. Got my entries. You go into it, it's $125. If you're not in it, fantasygolfchampionships.com. You can get onto it, but we are giving away one of the $125 entries into the aforementioned tournament with 50K up top. So you go to the Fantasy Golf Degenerates Twitter. Well, you can see myself, Kenny. We've retweeted it today already. You just retweet it. You add us to make sure you're on there following, and then you just leave your winner for the Masters for this season. A bunch of good response, a lot of engagement. Love to see that. So going to give that away by Wednesday night at the latest. Give some time for people to hear this show, go over to it. We ask, too, that you go over. It really helps us out. If you go over on the YouTube side of things, at least click the like button, subscribe to the Mayo Media Network. You don't have to turn on notifications if you don't want to, because maybe you just want this show, or you want, you know, your own types of setup that you've got there as far as the content you receive. But at least go over, click the subscribe, leave a comment there if you like, hit the like button. We definitely want a little bit more engagement over there as well. But the giveaway is on. It's a $125 ticket. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's the same tournament Kenny and I are playing in when we're talking about our one and done picks at the end of the show starting next week. The contest starts next week. You may remember from last year when Kenny was winning a lot of money after 5 weeks and remembered there was still 30 plus, but wanted to hold his picks from you because he thought he was winning the whole tournament. We'll see if that happens again this year. Maybe you can have a hot start and then crater from there again. But it's a lot of fun to play in. It's a great little, you know, tournament to be in, and we are giving away that ticket. So enjoy.
I finished outside the top 1,000. So
correct.
That's how it went for the end of the year. I did have Rahm at the Memorial, so that sort of hurt me a little bit.
The guy winning the Millie Maker after Thursday, tweeting it out and talking about it. That's basically what it was. But I digress.
All right, so let's get to this week. you know, after, you know, well, a month. It usually it seems like forever, but nowadays after doing this for so long, it went by quick. The break, the PGA Tour back, Century Tournament of Champions. You guys know what the deal is. All the winners from last year and Xander Schauffele, I guess because he won the Olympics. You know, of course, no cut event. So all 70, all they'll play all 72 unless there's a withdrawal. You know, also, this is the time where you can, you know, duplicate lineups are going to happen. So you want to think about maybe leaving some cash on the table or do, you know, playing that ownership game when it comes down to it, especially when it comes up top. And we'll talk about that once you get to the golfers. Weather, always a factor. Most always a factor. Last year it wasn't. It was pretty nice last year. And that's why you saw the scores at minus 25 was the winner for Harris English. So, you know, the wind, I don't think it's going to be that strong, but they have had a lot of rain the last month in Kapalua. It's, you know, been it's going to be pretty soggy would be my guess there. So the ball's not going to have that rollout, but the greens should be really soft. It should be pin seeking. I'm thinking low scores. Once again, something similar to last year, 20 under or above is going to win. A couple of things before we get to the course, 11 of the last 13 winners here played some type of golf in December, either Hero or the QBE or the Aussie Open. They've all played 11 of the last 13 winners have played golf in December. Five of the last six winners had either won a FedEx Cup playoff event or a fall event the previous year. That's from Jeff Ulrich at Fantasy at the Fantasy Grind. Most birdies are better made at Tournament of Champions the previous 3 years. Justin Thomas was 77. Xander, 67. Dustin Johnson, 65. Patrick Reed, 59. Cameron Champ, 59. Once again, it's a no-cut event. Birdies are king. You need those birdies. That's from Justin Ray. All right, so let's get to these to this course. The Plantation Course of Kapalua, 7,600-yard par 73. Four par fives, only three par threes. The course is unlike really any other course you're going to see on the tour, built on the side of a mountain near the coast. Lots of elevation changes. The course is not that long as yardage suggests because, once again, there's only three par threes and the elevation changes. I would say it's around a 7,100-yard course. Typical is what you're going to judge it on. You know, so, you know, at first glance, you know, you would think that bombers would do well, but KJ Choi, Graham McDowell, and Xander Schauffele have the course record at 62. You know, Graham and KJ, not the longest guys on tour. You know, English won last year, not the longest guy on tour. I'd say iron play, especially inside of 150 yards, is more important than bombing. You know, 40%, almost 40% of all approach shots are inside 150 or outside, and then another 40% are outside 200 yards. So short irons, long irons, going to be important. Most of them are going to be in that range for the approaches this year. The course went through some renovations. I don't think it's changed the course that much. 2 years ago, it did, but the, you know, the greens are a little bit more bouncy, a little bit more first hop on the greens, you know, because they resodded all the greens. And there was a lot of wind, and the winning score that year was minus 14. But last year, it was basically pin-seeking. Once again, winning score minus 25. I think that's what we're going to see again. I think the greens grew in. I don't think you have to worry about the firm greens like we did a couple of years ago. Now, off the tee, golfers are going to see huge fairways. Very little rough to contend with. Over 70% of all fairways have been hit on the course over the years. Golfers can bomb it out there with little penalty. Unless you're Bryson DeChambeau, who says he needs more room on this course to bring out the big dog. He said that on Twitter or in an interview. Don't really understand what he's saying because these are some of the widest fairways you're going to see all year. Usually there's a lot of rollout, but again, it's going to be – and that kept a lot of the shorter golfers in play throughout the years because usually you get a ton of rollout on this course. But again, soggy conditions. We're going to have to see how it plays out for the rest of this week. Now, if golfers are real wild off the tee, there is some really high rough. I mean, JT hit it in there a few years ago on the back nine on Sunday, the year he won. He shouldn't have been able to find his ball. I mean, he got lucky as hell. Found his ball and beat out Hideki. But, I mean, if you miss it in that really tall rough, which is there's not that much of, but you can still hit it there, it can cause some troubles. The fairways themselves, very hilly, undulating. On approach shots, golfers will see very large undulating greens, not as undulating as they used to be. Another thing that Coren Crenshaw did was sort of flatten the greens here a little bit. over 80% of all approach shots have landed on these greens, you know, throughout the years. Now, the number dropped in 2020 again, but it crept back up in 2021. So I think that's what we're going to expect. I would put 2020 as an outlier unless we see windy conditions out there for these. And these Bermuda grass greens, usually that was how the course was made super difficult. Now, the thing about these greens is what you're going to have to do is when it comes down to this event, experience has played a really big factor. Not many new first timers have fared well. I think, like in the last 8 years, eight golfers have finished top seven or top five at this event in their first time. And some of their names are Spieth, Hideki, Rahm, Rory, Koepka, and Im. You know, some of the best guys out there. Now, the reason why I think it was harder for these new guys was because the old guys who have played this course all the time, there's only a few set pin locations back in the day that they were able to play on this course because of how hilly and undulating these greens are. Now that they've flattened the greens a little bit, there's more locations to put the pin, which gives the people who play this course a bunch, a little less goodness for the course because, you know, they knew where the pin locations are going to be. They knew where they were going to putt from. They made those putts year in and year out for years. Now, with these different pin locations, I think you could see more younger guys, first timers, being able to take this course on. Because from a ball striking perspective, it's not that difficult of a course. Tambo, what are you looking for in golfers this week?
Yeah, it's funny you talk about pin placements. Hopefully the tee boxes are in the right places so the guys can find them. Don't forget Spieth and Stenson there. That was some good comedic value we got out of it. But just funny to see, you know, Spieth didn't even know. I think he said it was a charity event. He thought, like, who cares, right? You know, meanwhile, guys going out there trying to get ready and take down Tiger's tournament and get a W coming into this one. But yeah, a couple of things you said there. One of the big ones, too, just might go overlooked. It's not a huge deal, but, you know, everyone says this is the toughest walk on course for everybody. Like, so sometimes maybe not the older guys, you just talked about some of the younger guys that could get there. Everything else you talked about, it's kind of out there and everybody knows it already. But for those for the first time listening, like you said, the wider fairways means it's not as important about that. You know, it's more about the second shot, the around the green, the experience matters here. It's been talked about plenty in the past. There's just too much creativity required and shots that are sort of awkward lies, things like that, where people say, look, it's one of those things. And that's where sometimes it's funny. I think this place even gets a little bit of the Augusta comparison or comp course, but, you know, because of the undulating greens and the creativity that's required and the experience that's needed. But I think that's also leans towards how strong the field is at both places. And on top of it, all those other factors that I just mentioned. So interestingly enough there, I guess that's one thing to look at, but for me, it's that, you know, putting is a big factor here. You don't, the greens are large. So three putt avoidance has been a thing in the past. It continues to be a thing. You got to be able to find your way at least up to the hole, and there's four par fives. So it'll come into play a little bit when we talk about Bryson. Maybe he's figured things out a little bit more this time around and he can get it done. But anytime there's four par fives and wide fairways, regardless of his comments, you should be thinking about him a little bit. So we'll get into it here in a minute with the DraftKings picks. Before we do, want to let you guys know about our very special offer from our friends over at DraftKings.
The NFL playoffs are here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking things off with a huge offer. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any wildcard team to win their game. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team is victorious. That's right, bet just $5 on any NFL playoff game, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give new customers an additional $280 in free bets if the team they choose wins their game. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you still have something to play for this wildcard weekend. Everybody can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code FGD, and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FGD at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Available in select states only. Minimum $5 deposit, minimum $5 wager. Winnings paid out in the form of $7 $40 free bets. New customers only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so let's get to this top range here on DraftKings. for this week. We have John Rahm all the way down to Vicky Hovland. Victor. I love Victor. Who do you like this week? Tambo.
I like Vicky. No, I don't actually. So I'm going to talk about here. I think, you know, a couple of things are going to come up. Ownership is going to be a big factor. You talked strategy wise a little bit earlier. Tournament like this, definitely find a lot of duplicates. So you can look at leaving some money on the table. You can look at getting off the tier. Like, for example, in this top tier, I know some people always take this the wrong way, but we have quite a bit of conviction when we do the show, Kenny. But I think when you look at it too, there is decisions that get made after the fact. It's definitely a first look. It's something like this. Ownership, like I said, it matters even more. It's only a 39-man field. You can cross some of the guys at the bottom off, at least in my opinion. But you look at the top. I was saying to somebody today, Rahm Hovland is the same price as Morikawa Bryson. Who do you pick from those two? Just throw it to you real quick. Rahm Hovland or Morikawa Bryson? If you could only pick one, of course you could play both sets of the lineup, but who would you pick if you had to?
I would pick Morikawa Bryson.
See, just I think I would too, but I think the general public would fit Rahm and Hovland. Just look at what Hovland's doing, coming off two wins, another coastal track. The game is strong. Everything looks good there. Rahm, no matter what, I know there's going to be conversation or a story to tell for every guy in this top tier this week, where you got Morikawa is obviously chasing down the world number one. He's got to finish, I believe it's second or better, and Rahm has to finish third or worse, and he picks up number one. JT, there's going to be a lot of talk about him because think about it. He's won here twice. He's looked pretty good in other times he's come out here. And then you see the Daniel Rappaport tweet. We always bring our boy Daniel Rappaport up. Comes out today, says, Rahm, JT, Spieth, been here over the new year, basically stayed through. They said JT shot a 61 the other day on some course over there. So, I mean, he's we saw him at, you know, the father-son event. We've seen him in other events out there where he's putting up numbers and you're just seeing him playing well. So I think that's going to be a conversation. And then Bryson, we already talked about. But for me, right now, the way I'm leaning, Kenny, is Morikawa and Bryson based on that 2v2 example. I think they'll come in with a little less ownership. Rahm, you know, is always, he's number one in the world for a reason. Love his game too. Can't play everybody, I guess, or you don't have to play everybody. I prefer to go with Morikawa, chasing it down. And then Bryson, just for the fact that if some don't want to play him, usually they don't, can bomb it out here. Maybe he's got things together a little bit with the rest of his game. He's always got upside in a no-cut event with four par fives per day that he can play. So I'm definitely going to lean that way with those two. JT, I love. I'm bullish on him. If you guys watched the season preview, I talked about him for player of the year, money, you know, money winnings, all these factors, repeating at the Players, maybe winning the Masters. I've got everything going with it. But when you bring up all the narratives, the bones in the bag, the former wins here, if that tweet gets around, like it always seems to do with the 61s, or always seems to get around, you see that with the 61 on it, people may go there. And I think if he picks up a lot of ownership, it's hard to say, like, look at Morikawa. He's basically been doing the same thing JT's been doing in the same form. Obviously blew the lead at the Hero, which usually has a little bit of correlation, more so just because it's the most recent event they play coming in here. But he blew it on Sunday after the 5-stroke lead, ended up coming just a one spot, I believe, on the leaderboard ahead of JT. And then you look at it from that factor, but he also just won a big event before, you know, the DP Tour in Dubai. We had a couple big turns of events just before that where his form is just as good or better. So I don't know, with him being squeezed between Rahm or JT, I think Morikawa could be a really good player this week. And then I'm definitely going to take the upside of Bryson over the 4 days.
Yeah. And here's the thing, when it comes to lineup construction, I'm not the biggest fan of the 9K small. There's only three guys in there. I'm not even sure going to play any of them. 8K, there's a couple guys in the lower end that I like, but I like a lot of the guys in the 7K range. So I think I'm going to start with three guys up here. And I think you sort of buried the lead there. It's going to be Justin Thomas, Morikawa, and Bryson for me. And if I had to put those in order, I don't know, JT, Morikawa, A1 and AB, and then Bryson would be below them. I'm thinking I'll probably have Bryson, I'll probably have Morikawa and Justin Thomas in about 75 to 80% of my lineups this week, either combined or just one of those guys in. And I think that's the way it's going to go for me. I mean, you can make arguments for anybody here, of course. You know, Rahm, number one player in the world, Morikawa, really good form coming in there, might be the best player in the world at the moment in time. Justin Thomas, most birdies here over the last 3 years. Bryson, you know, just hits a long way, four par fives. This seems like something that the type of course that he should be able to open up and pound. And the one thing about Bryson, you know, the thing about it is his iron game has been much maligned throughout the year. Recently, it's improved. It has gotten a lot better, especially his long iron play. He doesn't use it that often, Maybe that's why the stats are a little bit skewed. But in the last 15 rounds, Bryson's first in proximity from 200 yards plus. He's also ninth in proximity from 125 to 150 in this field in the last 50 rounds. So you can see that gradual improvement that he's had with those irons, especially, you know, everyone talks about he wants his, they need to, his shorter irons need to be better. If his shorter irons are really good, I mean, he would almost be unbeatable, you know, just on certain types of courses like this one. And I don't know. I think you could see him do pretty well. I mean, he's had a few top 10s here, maybe even a top five here in the past. So those are the three guys I'm going with up top. Hovland, it's really hard to win three events in a row. I mean, the last person to do it, what, Dustin Johnson? Like, I think maybe like a long time. I don't know. It's been a while.
It was DJ. I think it was. Yeah. I read that today. And it's funny because they always compare, even their swing. You've seen guys post the swing videos where there's, you know, side by side and the way they bow their hands at the top, it looks very similar. So Hovland almost could fulfill that. But I just, like you said, it's hard to win. I also want to go back and watch the, there was the Rick Gaiman interview he did with Hovland, which is funny now because ever since that interview, Hovland's won every event, which is two. Yeah. But he did say something in there. I remember about a bunch of travel. I thought it was over Christmas and New Year's and going back to Norway and coming back and doing all this. So it seems like a lot. And why does he, you know, everybody wants to win. He's going to want to win three in a row, but just, it's all narrative based. We're making stuff up, but you're going to be able to do that for every guy on the board this week. That to me would still be something where, yes, he just won two. He's hot in recent form. But if he was doing all that over the holidays, I mean, if these guys were staying through like JT, Rahm, that sort of thing. And if Rahm, the other thing too, if Rahm's going to come in low owned, I don't think he will, but if somehow he does, we get to Wednesday night and it's like, everyone just said, forget Rahm. There's no way he can do this. He's number one in the world for a reason. So that's where I, you know, these five guys, you can play around with a little more. Hovland's the guy I'm just not interested in. It's the four above him. But Rahm is, like I said, the one I have a tougher time with as of right now. We'll wait and see how ownership lands out.
All right, let's get to the 9K range. Only three guys. I don't know if I'm going to play any of them. I mean, you look at it. You got Canley, who hasn't played in like 14 months. The guy was great last year, but the man hasn't played in forever. You know, could he? You would think that the rust would be there. And, you know, I can't play a guy who hasn't played in that long. It's been at least 3 months since Cantlay's played. You know, so I can't get on that. Xander could be the highest owned golfer on the slate. You know, the last time he hasn't really been faring that well. Now in the fall, I mean, last three events, 12th, 28th and 18th, not the best. And I think a lot of those were, most of those were no cut events also. With a smaller field. So those numbers don't even look as good because of that. And you got Burns might be the one that I think about playing just because the talent that Burns has is pretty immense. He's actually ranked number one in my model for the last 50 rounds. So Burns would be the only one that I would think about playing with, you know, a strong iron game. The one thing you worry about with him is he's just sort of middle of the pack when it comes to par five scoring and long irons. So you worry about that a little bit with the par fives out there and how you have to score on that. But he would be the only one I would think about playing in this range.
Yeah, this is just a quick range for me too. It's same thing as you, but I think, like you said, Xander will be extremely high owned. He's fared pretty well in these tournaments with the, you know, cut events and this, and, you know, in this event, exactly. He's won all these factors, but at 9,500 with the ownership that he'll receive, I think it's fine. Just either skip the 9K range or take a shot on Burns. Burns has been one of the hottest golfers, if not the hottest in the world, for someone who's sort of an up and comer and wants to put his name and stamp on something. This is a spot to do it in the crowd of all of the winners and the gold medal winner of last season. You can go in and take a W down against them. That's something that Burns, all of them will be gunning for. But I just, like I said, I think Burns has a little bit of fire inside of him. So I think that's going to be a spot where we could see him get right and do a little bit more, you know, at 9,100 than some of the other guys around him. Going into the 8K range, this is where I, you know, have a tough time, Kenny. I'll flip it to you, but it's a lot of the same situation or the same conversation of some of those guys we just talked about. You talked about Cantlay, but what about, you know, Decky, Brooks? You know, the bottom's okay, I guess, but you know, those are two of the bigger names. And then from there, you've got some other names I do like, Berger, Smith, M, Answer, Tony Finau. What are your thoughts here on this 8K range?
Smith and M are going to be my two plays. I'll probably play more than that, but my top two guys in this range are going to be Cam Smith and Sung J-M. You think about Cam, he's the best putter in this field. And he's also really good with his shorter irons. Those are, you know, two extremely important parts of Kapalua. And when it comes down to previous winners, you know, and the thing is, he's, you know, top 10 in par five scoring. in this field in the last 50 rounds as well. So I like Cam a lot this weekend. I like Sungjae, top five last year in his first time out. One of the few to have ever done that on this course. So if something shoots his eye, my guess would be, and he's Korean, so you know my ass is going to, I mean, there's not much more to say about that. I'm going with Sungjae for this week. I do like how Perry from Fantasy Golf Insiders calls him Hongjae, which is probably not right because he's Korean. He probably has a small dick like me, but I like the name personally. Hongjae, let's go. Those two guys are going to be my two guys that I enjoy that I'm going to play this week.
You kill me. I love that name, actually, Hongjae. That's a great nickname. I apologize before. I said get right spot for Sam Burns. Obviously, he doesn't need to get right in any way, shape, or form. What I meant was a statement spot beyond what he's already done. The time to do it is at a spot like this in front of all the best in the world where you're making the statement that it wasn't just these events or those wins. It's this. I'm doing it in front of everybody now. So that's what I could see happening there with him. Going into this 8K range, though, I like him. The funny part is the names you've brought up, Kenny. So JT, Smith, and Answer. That's number 2, 3, and 4 at the November Masters when Dustin Johnson won. If you remember the low scoring Masters, similar, you know, maybe some takeaways there, the guys that you like, but that's the guys that finished 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the November Masters that year. So could make some sense. Unfortunately, we don't have DJ or Rory here. They rounded out the top five, but I like a couple of the same guys. I like him. I like Finau actually at 8K down below. So another thing I didn't mention off top when you asked what I'm looking for, everyone's looking for the same thing. Winners, we're all trying to find them. But the one thing I would say is you got to be a little bit subjective when coming to this stuff here. All the data, all the strokes gained, all the narratives you want, at the end of the day, you're still going to have to take some bets on some talent. And when we get to 7,900, right, you got to think people are going to go to Reed here. I know I bet him today. We'll get to that later. It makes a lot of sense. The course, horse, everything. But we talked about this. Finau and Answer are right above him. They both finally got their W's that we were waiting for. Finau's the one with sort of the crack the seal on the original Puerto Rico Open, did it in a playoff event. Answer got his first in a WGC, big boy events, strong fields, things like that, shorter fields in both cases, actually a little bit. So it's a similar thing here. And I definitely think those two could show out. I like Smith, I like Answer, but the guy I like most is Daniel Berger. I just think that's something that'll go overlooked. The guy, it's been talked about. Actually, speaking to Rick Damon earlier, he brought it up this week in one of his videos. I saw it talking about weighted average. You and I have been talking about this a lot on the show in the past about we've talked about with Berger, with Adam Scott, with Sergio, with certain guys where you may forget that, well, they always come in 20th and you think that's bad because they're not winning or coming top 10. It's because they're only playing in the best fields in the entire world, and that matters. And so when Berger's priced down here at 8,400, it's maybe about right, but I think he's the guy I'd take a bigger shot on because he's playing in the tournament with names like this all the time, but you're pricing him as if he doesn't, in a sense, or in a way. The other thing, where did Berger get his W? AT&T Pro-Am, Coastal Course, out there, lower scoring, the easier version, kind of like what we're seeing here this week. So I think Berger, on top of the stats, doesn't three putt very often, good around the greens, things like that, where he can be creative still. He's been in the mix in tournaments with Jordan Spieth in the same places, even the playoff, the one where you remember way back at the St. Jude, where, you know, Spieth drained it from the bunker and got the big chest bump there and threw the rake, Michael Gallagher, all these factors where Berger, I think, can make a lot of sense and show up. And people just, for some reason, oftentimes don't like to play him. So I really like Berger this week at 8,400 in that 8K range.
Let's move to the 7K range. The easy one's going to be Reed. I'm going to play him. I'm going to bet him. The guy plays his course well. Again, the motivation is going to be there for Patrick because he's probably never going to be a captain's pick again on any team competition. He's got to make the top five, top six, wherever it is to get there. And I think that's going to be one of his big goals after being snubbed last year. So I expect a huge season from Patrick Reed, my second pick in the PGA picks that we did with Mayo and all the guys. Again, go watch that show. It was funny. And lots of info out there. I like Leishman a lot. Pretty good fall. Decent, you know, course history here. A couple of top sevens here in the past. Again, another solid putter. You know, I like Leishman at this course. I like the way his game is trending up. He sort of had sort of a valley last year, but it looks like it's coming back up. And at this price, 7,500, I think it's way worth it. I think he can win this event. I bet him also this week. So those are the two guys that I'll be focusing on the 7K range.
Yeah, there's a few guys. Like you said, the Reed one, I'll wait and see if he's going to be 30% owned. I can just find somebody else here. I get the motivation. I understand that he wants to come out and do his thing. He's been playing pretty good golf when he has played as well. And I think like the biggest factor you said, but there's lots of other ways you can get around it. If you go underneath them, there are a couple guys, Kokrak, definitely like him. I think if you just look at his stats across the board, they all line up, makes a lot of birdies, good from 200 plus, doesn't three putt very often. Like, he can at least get it up there. And then with the four par fives, his length will come in handy as well. Taylor Gooch, to me, I've said this all last season, it hasn't quite played out yet because Sam Burns won, but I said Sam Burns Jr., right? Sam Burns light, if you will, where he's basically the same thing, same player going out doing his thing, just hasn't got those W's yet. But talk about playing a lot, the recent form, game in check, great stats across the board. And funny enough, you talked about Sam Burns being in the number one spot on your model on Fantasy National over the last 50. Not far back. I got him in fourth, Taylor Gooch. So it's, again, very similar. Think about their skill set and type. I think they make a lot of sense. Or, like I always say, if you don't want to play Sam Burns or a 9K guy, you could just leave some money on the table and try out Gooch for a little bit less and just make your lineup unique that way. Maybe it's your best Sam Burns lineup. Drop down to Gooch and take a shot in a tournament like this just to see if you're scared to leave that one or you got FOMO, just play both of them. Play the Sam Burns lineup you love and then make it again and take out Sam Burns and book Gooch. Very similar game set when they talk about things that. And then like that. And then lastly, for me, I always have a little bit of love for Billy Ho. I think the course might be a little bit too long, might go a little too low. But again, I don't need him to win. I'm not betting on him to win this tournament. I'm playing a guy at 7,000 that I think can get into the mix, can get to, you know, 15, 18 under. If we see 20 to 25 under, he could be there. You never know. And Billy Ho can always get hot at the right time, make a few putts, Bermuda, everything that he's got going for him. I think he's a good play as well here at 7,000 even. That'll go a little bit overlooked at least.
6K. A few guys I like. It's a pretty big range. And I'm going to have to play a lot of these guys just because if I'm going to start with those three guys up top, you know, it could be one of those days where I have to put two guys up here and two guys that I enjoy that I would like to play up here would be Cameron Champ and Max Homa. Homa, first off, has win equity. You know, the guy wins, you know, more than anyone else in the 6K range by a lot, at least the last couple of years.
Win less than the guy you mentioned before him.
Who am I going to mention before him?
I think Cam Champ has the same or more, right? They both have three wins.
Probably, yeah. Both those guys.
They both have three. They both have three. Yep. You're right.
Both those guys I like, Homa, he struggles sometimes with his shorter irons, but the closer he is, the better he is. And we'll see how far he can hit it out there. Champ, like I said, top five in birdies at this event the last 3 years. Long iron, strong, off the tee, he's great. He just needs to get a little bit better on the par fives. The thing about Champ here is, you know, if he can avoid the big numbers, which he's had a lot of here in the past, he can, you know, be a top five, top 10 guy in this event. So if he can somehow get rid of those larger numbers, I think he's great because, you know, when it comes to DraftKings, you want birdies. And this guy has some of the most on this course. Another guy I like, Cameron Davis. Easy course guy is what I sort of get the vibe for Cameron Davis. When he plays easier courses, when there's a lot of birdies, when it's wide open, when there's not a lot of trouble, I think he can come in and do his thing. So I like Cam Davis a lot in this range. There's a couple other guys, but go ahead. Who do you like?
Yeah, I like a few down here. And I think it just, you know, speaks to it as well. We didn't talk a lot about this off the top, but I most certainly like the Stars and Scrubs. You sort of hinted at it when you said you don't like anyone in the 9K. You're not very high on guys in the 8K. So Stars and Scrubs should be popular and usually for good reason at a tournament like this, no cut, a lot of points out there to be had. A guy like you mentioned, like a Cam Champ, even Cam Champ, Max Homa, I find them very similar. I like both this week, like your point, but they're the guys that, you know, they may finish 23rd in the tournament, but finish in the top 15 in scoring or better, even in some cases, can make eagles, things like that. So definitely looking at a lot of guys down here to mix into the group. That would be two of them. The guy I like the most, so Kenny, you mentioned one of them, but I'll name the other one first. Seamus Power. We talked about him a lot. I think he's severely underpriced and people say, well, he doesn't win. Like we just said, Homa and Champ have three wins. He's got one kind of different. Like I think if you look at all around game total, you know, from tee to green, right out the irons, the around the green, the putting, all of that is there. Got his W pretty quickly out on the PGA Tour, always had showed up over in Euro, can score well. And now he's got, his full membership, everything like that. So I think he's a guy to look at here at 6,600. Could get a little bit popular, to be honest, based on models and stats and things that people are going to see. So that's fine with me. I think he's the play down here that I like no matter what. The other guy you mentioned is Cam Davis. We talk about him plenty on the show in the past years, just scoring. He's the guy that just is the exact example of what I just mentioned, where you're going to see him finish 20th, but he's going to be in like 12th in scoring because just the way he does it. And then you got to remember too, a lot of the times Cam Davis has disappointed people is tough courses where he was missing a putt for par or birdie that he needed to make the cut. That's what people will remember at the courses where you can go low. He's done very well. He doesn't three putt a lot. he's able to at least get it up there. So if he can get it for eagle putt, come up just short, make the birdie, those will all start adding up. And what if some of those eagles, one or two, drop? So I like that. And the last guy really for me, Kenny, I guess two, a couple flyers. One, Lucas Herbert. This guy, two wins over on the Euro Tour, came over, I believe it was his third start, got the W on the PGA Tour. I believe it was Bermuda, but you know, either way, the thing is, you just think about him as a gamer coming out doing that. Obviously, three wins in 1 year, I don't care what type of field strength or tours or anything like that, it's hard to do. We've seen it plenty of times, talked about it with guys that we're not talking about this week, like Mito Pereira or, you know, Cameron Johnson, the guys like this that we're watching, Cameron Young, sorry, that we're watching over on the tour, NBA on the mind right now, out on the Korn Ferry Tour, getting these W's, it's tough to do. Same thing here with European Tour. And then definitely, you know how hard it is to win on the PGA Tour, anyone who follows it like we do. So I think if you look at it from that perspective, he makes a lot of sense. Don't expect him to win, but at that price tag. And then the last guy, read enough on it today just to think it through a couple times out, Matt Jones. Just, you know, never really did anything wrong at courses that he played at. Has some of the same course comps out there. He's 6,000 even down at the bottom. I, again, don't expect him to win, but could he top 10 and surprise you? Absolutely. When he got his win last year, the reason he's here, it most certainly surprised some people. And he played some pretty good golf with that being said. So I do think he's a good play down at 6,000 as well, if you need to go down that far.
I like Herbert and Jones too. Herbert, you know, he's the best par five score. You know, in the 6K range. Also, his big weakness is driving off the tee. And, you know, it's wide fairways, you know. Yep. So you won't see that be too big of a problem for him. I like him also a lot this week. All right, let's get to our bets. All right, my bet card this week consists of four dudes. I'm going to start off with Morikawa at 10-1. I would either go to Morikawa or JT. I can't bet both. I'm going to bet one. I'm going Morikawa 10-1. And these are all from DraftKings Sportsbook. There are some better odds out there, so you might want to line shop, but I'm just going DraftKings Sportsbook since they pay our bills. So next is going to be Patrick Reed, 28-1. Mark Leishman, 30-1. And Cam Champ, 80-1. Those are going to be my four bets for this week.
Yeah, I like them. I've got only three, but I really have four. I'll tell the truth, because Ryan Baroff texted me today and told me I got to bet Stewie Cink. I think it's a horrible bet, but at 200-1 with the top five each, I said, fine, I'll do it. But the guys that I really liked, I mentioned off the top, Daniel Berger, 24-1. Love that bet this week. Like I said, I think he could really line up here well. I think he can definitely go out and win. I've got the Reed with you at 28-1. And then my guy at 80-1 is Seamus Power. So I know you said Cam Champ there. I like Power. Like I said, I think it's, I wish I could get 100-1, but at 80-1, I'm not going to be shy about it at that. And I still have it with the top five each way. So that's my card this week. Just four bets total, Kenny.
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. You can find my article on gupscorner.com. It's up already. Probably, I think I sent it. And it has my course preview. It'll have, you know, cash game cornerstones once they come out starting next week. My favorite single GPP play in every price range. Final betting card stuff changes sometimes by Wednesday. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out all the stuff on Mayo Media Network as well. All the stuff that we've done, our episode from last week, our season preview show, take a peek at that. Some laughs and some good info out there. It's not just the Bigfoot sighting story. There's some definitely good golf info out there. We pick who we think is going to win the majors, who the money list, up and comers. So it's going to be a good show. Make sure you check that out.
Yeah, definitely do that, like Kenny said, because it's not this event, guys. It's not an all-star game by any means. It's all the winners from last year. It's awesome. Golf is back. We love it. 39-man field, though. There's a lot of guys we talked about on that show last week that are still going to be very relevant starting next week and beyond. So not just what's going on in the world of golf this week. You guys know where to find me on Twitter at @ToeTagAndTambo. Hit me up there if you got any questions. And then, of course, over at RunPureSports.com, you can use promo code DEGEN50. That's DEGEN50. Get yourself 50% off your first month. Check things out. Hop into the Discord. Got every sport going on for one price. And then, of course, all the PGA content of myself upcoming for the season. So don't forget that. Don't forget about the giveaway. We talked about it. Head on over to the Fantasy Golf Degenerates Twitter or mine or Kenny's that we just talked about. Add us. Go find that tweet. Retweet it. Add us on that channel as well. And then make sure that you're leaving your winner for the Masters. We are going to give away that ticket on Wednesday night.
All right, it's a brand new year. We're looking forward to it. 36 straight weeks of golf begins now. Don't sue me, Scott Hansen. Let's win some motherfucking money. DGEN Nation. I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort.
curb. Stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words.